This morning we come to a very familiar commandment. Many of us have recited this one to our children time and time and time again, regardless of whether our children are this big or that big. It's always the reminder, hey, we need to what? Honor our father and mother. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we take a look at that. Honor, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I mentioned earlier that the Ten Commandments can be broken down primarily into two separate categories. The first four have to deal with our relationship with God, and the remaining six have to deal with our relationship with other people. Which I think is pretty interesting if you think about it, because you remember when they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And he said what? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. There's our two categories, right? Our relationship with God, our Father, and our relationship with one another. What I find very interesting about the fifth commandment is that it serves almost as a bridge between the two. The way in which a child honors God is going to be manifest by the way in which he honors his parents. And so really, this fifth commandment really can be in both categories and kind of serves as a bridge from one to the other. Now, I understand that there are other scriptures, especially in Proverbs, where there's references and instruction to the young men. But aside from that, we see that in the scriptures, there's really, when it comes to children, there's only one command that's given to children. That is what? To honor their parents. Proverbs will make reference to young men or young women. But when it comes to children, there's only one command in the scripture given to them, that they are to honor their father and their mother. That's why I say that this commandment serves as a bridge between our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Because when we honor or dishonor our parents, we are ultimately honoring or dishonoring God himself. Paul will pick up on this in Ephesians chapter 6. I love Ephesians chapter 6. It deals with all areas of relationship. But Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many say, parents said, amen, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. I love that. This is the first commandment that we have that comes with a promise. And what's the promise? That if you obey it, it will go well with you, and you will live long in the land. The opposite is true as well, isn't it? Certainly is true in my house. Right? If you don't honor your father and your mother, it will not go well with you, and I'll take you out. You'll not live long in the land. You'll not live at all. Right? And so that's kind of like the same kind of rule. It's basically the paraphrase of what we see here. If you want it to go well with you, honor your father and your mother. But you know, if we took a little deeper look at this topic of honoring father and mother, we'd see very quickly, this is something the scripture takes very seriously. Very, very seriously. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, we consider the law and we consider the instruct for the way in which God's people were to live in the society. God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, you can't choose which one you want to listen to, right? Who will not obey the voice of his father or his mother, and though they discipline him, they still won't listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and he is rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. And look, and so you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I'm sure they did. Could you imagine growing up in that society? That's what God set up. that if this child that you went to time and time again continues in his rebellion, what God says is drag him to the elders and stone him. Take him out. Some serious stuff. How many are glad that we're not living in the Old Testament way of life? How many wouldn't be here today if we were living in the Old Testament? The population would be very small if we were living. But it does not change what it says. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17 says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Serious. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, for anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood is upon him. God takes it very, very serious. I find an interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. It rocked my world when I first saw it. It says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. I love that. If you curse your father and your mother, I'll knock your lights out. That's exactly what it says. Isn't that great? That's where it came from. If you curse your father and your mother, I'll knock your lights out. I'll take your lampstand out and put you out in darkness. Honor your father and your mother. God's serious about this. Why is God so serious about this? Why is it so important? Why is there such severe consequence? Because people who don't learn how to honor their father and their mother will never honor their spouse. People who don't know how to honor their father and their mother will never honor their boss. People who don't learn how to honor their father and their mother will never honor the police officer. He'll never honor the teacher. He'll never honor the spiritual authority in their life. They'll never honor the leaders in their life. They'll never honor the pastors in their life. They'll never honor the authority in their life. It starts all the way back at home. And a society of people who don't know how to honor their parents turns into the most corrupt kind of society. It is total anarchy. There is no respect. There is no honor. No wonder Timothy says in the last days, children will turn against their parents. I mean, we're living in those times. And ultimately, here's the biggest problem with all of that. Children who don't learn how to honor their mother and father will never honor God. It starts way back in the home with children. This idea of honor begins in the children and ought to continue all throughout life. If we want to have societies that are effective and productive and useful for God, honor and respect must be present. No wonder God took it so seriously. And here's my point that I want us to kind of focus on this morning. The fifth commandment isn't necessarily about kids. You know, sometimes we think, like, we look at the Ten Commandments, we look at number five, we think, all right, cool, I'm off the hook because I'm not a kid anymore. If we took a look at this commandment, really the emphasis here is not on children. And the emphasis is not even on parents. The emphasis here is on honor. And we don't get a pass on honoring people because we have grown to a point where we're no longer children. And so this idea of honoring our parents, I submit to you, is the catalyst, is the beginning point of what ought to be lived out in every area of our life for the rest of our lives. Honor your father and your mother is not just something that applies to our children. It applies to each and every person, young and old, bad experiences and good experiences. There's always something to honor in someone who's been born, who's been made in the image of God. And here's the deal. We need to teach it to our children. We need to teach it by modeling it to our children. This is more taught not with lips, but by lifestyle. This commandment of honoring your father and your mother serves as a catalyst, as a beginning point, as a springboard of learning how to honor anybody else. It begins with the oldest institution that God created, the family. It is there that honor is to be taught and modeled to our children so that they grow into being the man or woman that God desires them to be. You say, well, you know, that sounds real good, but here's the deal. You don't know my parents. You don't know what I grew up in. There's nothing to honor there, really. I submit to you that there is always something to find to honor in a person who has been made in the image of God. You might not respect their character. You might not respect their ways. You may not respect their integrity, but you need to respect their role of authority in your life. And if it's the only thing that you could hold on to is the fact that God, in his infinite wisdom, put that person in your life as a position in a place of authority, then you honor them for that role in and of itself, even if you can't respect their ways. I get that. But who hasn't had to work for or be around or submit to someone that you look and say, that person's messed up? But that doesn't release us from honoring them. There's always something to honor. And here's the thing. If we don't teach that to our children, they will learn it the hard way. They will learn it by getting looked over, by not appreciating and receiving from authorities in their lives. And so this idea of this fifth commandment is not for children, although it applies to children. Right, I want to honor my parents. That would kind of fall in the category of no-brainer, right? We honor our parents. We honor our parents because we've been taught that from the beginning in such a way that along with honoring my parents, I need to honor other people. You know, it's interesting, as we look at these commandments, we see, as we move in from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see greater clarity come upon us as we look and say, this is the way in which it ought to be lived out. It's almost like what we see in the Old Testament gets put on steroids for the New Testament. What the actions get dealt with in the Old Testament, the heart gets dealt with in the New Testament. Jesus said it that way. Hey, you've heard that it's said that you shall not commit murder, but I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your hearts. You've heard that it's said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that even if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart. You've heard that it said, honor your father and your mother. Well, we see all throughout the scripture this appeal to honoring other people. Take a look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. Just when you thought you were getting off the hook this morning, this is going to be about the kids. Let's bring them in there. Let them take notes. Listen to Peter, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Look, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free. That's what we've been talking about, right? God's desire is for us to live in the freedom that he's given to us. But freedom is not the freedom to do what we want. Freedom's the freedom to live as we were designed to live. And God has given us these guidelines, given us these boundaries to experience the freedom that he has for us. Living as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Here it is, look, ready? Number 17, honor your father and your mother. No, that's not what he says. Honor everyone. You know what the Greek means there? Everyone. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. I love that. Honor everyone. There's always something to find in a person who's been made in the image of God that you can honor. And again, if you can't honor their character, honor their role. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, he says. That's the church of Jesus Christ. That's one another. That's the family of God that's been made the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. It's not talking about being afraid of God, but it's this idea of having a reverent and an awe and a respect for God. Fear God. And then he says something that I'm sure raised an incredible eyebrow. He says, honor the emperor. Now that might not rot your socks off, but when you consider for a moment just who the emperor was at the time of the writing of Nero, of this writing. At this time, Nero was the emperor. Nero was the most diabolical, demon-possessed emperor that the church had ever encountered. It was Nero who would light his gardens with the bodies of Christians that served as torches to light up his gardens. It was Nero who would wrap Christians up in leather, dip them in water, and let the contraction of that leather suffocate the very life out of them. He was a demon-possessed leader amongst the people. He was vile and committed to eradicating the earth of the people of God. He dragged Christian men and women and children to their death out of his utter hatred for Christianity. And Peter says, honor the emperor. Let's stay here. Let's stay focused. I know that's a distraction. Honor the emperor. How can that be? How can that be? Could you imagine what they must have been thinking? Honor the emperor. You get the point. The idea that Peter's getting across here is that there's always something to honor in people. And if not in their character, especially in Nero, then honor his role and position and place of authority in your life. That kind of makes our boss look pretty good, doesn't it, now? We consider they had to honor Nero. Kind of helps us appreciate, perhaps, our political leaders today that we're so quick to shoot down. It's not what we would necessarily choose, perhaps, but it's been worse for the church, folks. And we need to honor them because it is what the scripture says we should do. Honor the emperor. And so here's the point. Find something to honor. It began when we were children. And that lesson of honoring people needs to carry through for the rest of our lives. Honor everyone. He says children and adults who learn this early on will do well. Honor your father and mother. It's a commandment with a promise that it will go well with you. You see, they children who learn how to honor their parents, they will learn well. They'll be teachable. They will appreciate authority in their lives. They will respect authority in their lives, and they'll learn how to receive from authority. And they will learn how to contribute to society as a whole in a way that is most meaningful and God-honoring. And so this commandment that we consider this morning doesn't just apply to children, it applies to every one of us as well who are called to honor everybody. Look at what Paul writes again in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. People who learn how to honor other people are people who will succeed in life. Why is it that we see generations of people getting in trouble and ending up in prison? Why is that? Why does that continue? Why do we see that always happening? Why does that continue? Because what's taught in the home is repeated in that person's lifestyle. It begins in the home. Think about it. look at the ones that you read about in the papers and the ones that are struggling. What's their biggest issue? Their problem is they have a problem with authority. There's no respect for their parents. There's no respect for their teachers. There's no respect for the police officer. There's no respect for the clergy. There's no respect for people who can steer them and lead them out of trouble. And so when there's no respect, there's no teaching. When there's no teaching, there's trouble. It's very logical. This oftentimes, this verse is used as an assault against the child. You know, you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. What's the matter with you? And meanwhile, are we honoring our children? Do you realize, parent, how counterproductive it can be when your children hear you complain about the authorities in your life? This is where it's going to start to get a little uncomfortable now. When you start getting frustrated with that young person, that teenager, or even that adult who you look and say, they don't know how to honor me. Well, what have you modeled for them? Why do they hear you complaining about your boss, your pastor, your president, your this? What have you modeled for them that they understand the importance of honor? It grieves me sometimes when I see the way in which some of our kids talk to our leaders. I hear about the way in which they respond to their teachers. And I think it's not the idea of winning the argument. It's about setting that one up for success, where they can be safe. I would encourage you, parents, be careful with what you say about the leaders. And I'm not even just, please, I hope you know my heart. This isn't about defending me. Be careful with what you say about the leaders in the church. Whether it be me or youth leaders or Sunday school teachers or men's ministry or women's ministry or whatever it may be, because here's the deal. They are as imperfect as every one of us are, right? They are planting seeds into the lives of your young people. And the moment you go home, did you hear what so-and-so said? Who does that person think they are? Right away the kid says, oh, I guess that seed's no good. And it never grows. And you rob them from the ability of gleaning from that person that God has put in their place. You need to encourage them to appreciate the authority that God has placed in their lives, knowing that they're as imperfect as you are. But we need to be careful that we don't rob them of being able to glean from those that God would place into their lives. And so this command of honor your father and your mother, it begins when we're children. But we're never off the hook. We never mature out of that. Mom and dad today turned into employee, employer, one another, spouse, brother, sister, neighbor, whatever it is. We ought to be the most honoring people on God's earth. We need to get into the habit of finding the good in people. Could you imagine how relaxing it would be sometimes to not feel like I need to play the Holy Spirit in people's lives and point out all the things they're doing wrong? Do you know what freedom we would walk in looking and saying, you know what, I know I don't agree with, you know, I might not agree with this thing, but you know what, this is something that I really appreciate about this person. Find the good in one another. Stay positive. Don't worry, be happy, but be positive. Find the good. Honor everybody. There's nothing more stifling and destructive and annoying than a critical spirit. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be critical of other people. You just have to be willing to allow the enemy to use you. God's people ought to speak life. God's people need to speak hope. God's people need to honor everyone. Amen. Amen. People need to know more about what we believe, that more about what we agree with than what we disagree with. And you know what? When people are like that, everybody wants to be around them. And then you've created an environment where you can start to seed the gospel and start to be a light in those dark places. Honor everyone. You say, well, I don't have any children. My children roll out of the house. Instill it in your grandchildren. Model it to everybody. And may we, Integrity Christian Fellowship, may we be a church that's just knows how to honor people. Starts there. But as we get into the New Testament, it blows up. It's what we're going to do all throughout our lives. Father, I thank you for your word. I think of Jesus on the cross, who in those last moments honored his mom. I think of Jesus before the religious leaders who hurled accusations against him, and Jesus opened not his mouth. Our greatest example of one who had every right to not honor chose to honor. May we follow in the footsteps of our master. May we seek to be people of blessing in all we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.